everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. We are here to talk about the non-Hallmark Thanksgiving offerings that we got from all the different networks, from Lifetime, from ION, from Hulu, all over the place. Going to be fun. Netflix. And I am film critic Rachel Wagner, and I have very special guest, one of my good friends, Dory, is here.
Woohoo!
Yes. Yes. I don't know if the listeners look forward to it. I think they do. I certainly look forward to it whenever we can chat about movies or anything, to be honest. I really love it.
I mean, and we also were texting all last night. So
yeah, I wish that everybody could have been a part of that basically text commentary that we did on the Christmas listing. We happened to both be watching it at the same time. It was pretty fun.
We'll try and relive. We'll try and get some of that magic back today.
But how are you doing, Dory? How was your Thanksgiving week?
Thanksgiving was good. It was just me and my dog, no traveling. But I still managed to cook, gotta cook. Mm-hmm. So I ate a lot of pie and I watched a lot of Hallmark, and it was nice. I mean, we had so many movies Thanksgiving week, which I always look forward to. So I was very happy. How was yours?
It was good. I feel so proud of not just myself, but the whole team here, because I think we covered something like over 20 films in total between the two off-network podcasts, and we did a total of 6 Hallmark recaps.
Wow.
with Casey and Jess covering 4 films total. So that was really nice. It was really nice of them to do that, because it was nice to just have a couple films that I could just watch at my leisure. In fact, one I actually haven't even watched yet. Yes, I just didn't have to. That was really nice.
I mean, for the first time this year, you could just let it wash over you and enjoy it. That's awesome. Yeah.
So, well, we are going to be covering a lot today, and so we might not go into as much detail as sometimes we go to in these films, but it's going to be fun nonetheless to talk about a whole bunch of Lifetime movies and other films. And I have to say, I felt like when we first talked about Lifetime, they had like a really impressive first weekend. And then I think that they've kind of struggled. And I think it's because they have a lot of acquisitions, mm-hmm. and those just don't have the budget of the typical Lifetime film. Mm-hmm. And I don't know.
I've been really disappointed. And it's interesting, because last year I feel like I was expecting Hallmark to be amazing, and Lifetime was like just kind of re-entering the Christmas bubble, and so I was expecting them to struggle a little, and I ended up being really impressed with what Lifetime did overall last year, especially it being like their first big year back. And then overall I was kind of disappointed in a lot of the Hallmark offerings, and this year it is completely flipped. Like, I'm bummed about it. You know, I would love it if both networks were kind of firing on all cylinders. Like, how fun would that be? Like, to every weekend to not even know who you think came out on top. I think that would be so fun. I've been disappointed.
Yeah, it does seem like Lifetime has a pretty good December. So let's hope that is the case, and they've kind of saved some of their best for December, which I don't think is maybe true for Hallmark. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
So yeah, it might even out in the end, but because I know I have actually gotten to see Christmas Ever After and it's really good. I really enjoyed that. So I'm excited for people to see that. And then the Christmas setup looks really good. Sugar and Spice Holiday looks really good. And so hopefully they'll have a turnaround. But yeah, they've had some rough ones. Some of these acquisitions. Homemade Christmas took me to a dark place. I hated that movie so much.
I mean, Rachel's never like told me not to watch a Christmas movie. And she literally texted me and was like, don't watch this movie. Don't watch Homemade Christmas. And I took it very seriously. I was like, oh my gosh, if she's saying don't even bother, I'm listening. And I deleted it.
That's the greatest gift I've ever given you.
I appreciate it.
Well, they started out this group with Dear Christmas, and this is Melissa Joan Hart, Jason Priestley, and this is directed by Emily Moss Wilson, and she did The Christmas Contract, I believe, last time. So this is the plot is that Natalie Morgan is the host of a popular podcast, Holiday Love, which shares true stories of holiday romance with its listeners. While to the outside world and her listeners everywhere see Natalie as an expert on romance, she's never truly experienced a romance of her own. As Natalie prepares to embark on a promotional tour for her new book, she stops back home to spend Christmas with her family, where she's unexpectedly begins to experience her own holiday romance as sparks ignite with local firefighter Chris. So, Dory, what was your overall thoughts about this film?
I liked it. I felt like it was kind of in on the joke of how some of these movies can feel sometimes. I definitely sensed the COVID of it all.
Yeah.
With the party scenes, like you could just feel that they did not want to shoot with anyone. And that felt it felt just awkward and different, but like, what are you going to do in 2020?
Yeah.
But the moment that Jason Priestley was introduced in this movie, stepping out of that white truck with the slow-mo, with like the jazzy Christmas music behind him, that was potentially the greatest thing I've ever seen. Like, I was squealing. I was laughing. It was just so fun. And I loved it. I freaking loved it. Like, he looked like a romance novel hero, like stepping out, you know, like he might as well have had a Beyonce wind machine blowing in his face. Like, it was just the perfect introduction to him. So I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. There were, you know, it wasn't like the best of the best to me, but I still really enjoyed it.
Yeah, there were definitely some moments in this film that sort of felt like parody in a in the kindest sense of the word. It's not like, you know, a Christmas movie, Christmas or whatever that one was called, where it's like an outright comedy. But there were definitely moments where they were sort of tongue in cheek and kind of winking at the camera kind of a thing. I mean, every time he would appear with the man, I always joke, you know, that the ultimate contrast to the bad man of business is the man with many jobs. And is there ever a better depiction of that than this movie, where he literally appears in a million jobs in every single scene that he's in? And it's kind of like, you're delivering the food. One minute you're a tow truck driver. Next minute
you're a firefighter all of a sudden. You're a glass blower.
And I had to laugh because obviously her being a podcaster is going to kind of ring close to home. And so, but I had to laugh when she's having a conversation with somebody, I forget, about Christmas or whatever, and she's like, "Of course not. Don't you listen to my podcast?" I said on Twitter, I said, "This is me as a character."
Absolutely.
Like, never has a film captured me more than this moment. Because it's hard when, because you don't want to be obnoxious to your friends and family as much as possible. But when you've had an experience, because my, sometimes I feel like I'm the most boring person in the world to talk to, because my whole life is a podcast. And so it's like the, and especially in 2020, because other things that kind of made me more well-rounded have fallen away. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, I don't have swimming anymore. I don't have church anymore. I don't have all those things that kind of made me more than just the podcast. And so people are like, that reminds me of the podcast. Oh, that reminds me of that.
Right.
What just happened on the podcast. And so I'm sure it drives people crazy. But
I related, you know, to that too.
That's all I have. Like, I really, right now, everything, almost everything in my life has something to do with podcasts.
I know. It's just the moment we're in. And do you ever get the, like, friends texting you or family texting you something like Mark or Lifetime related, like you haven't seen it, and you're like, you have to be kidding, that, like, it's like, I appreciate that you're thinking of me, but, like, I've known about this for 4 months.
Yeah, I still, just I don't know, a week or so ago, somebody tagged me in that whole the whole post about the man in the city who is worried his girlfriend will go to the country, and you know, that whole thing, which was so funny the first time I heard it, literally 2 years ago.
It was in 2017. Like, we know.
Yeah, no, that happens all the time.
It makes me laugh every time. Like, when Holly Robinson Pete and CCB were on, and I think Lacey might have been on too.
Kelly Clarkson, yeah. Yes!
People are like sending me, and I'm like, I know. It sounds crazy, but I know these ladies' every move. I know what they're doing. I talk about them way more than is healthy. I follow them on Instagram. Like, I appreciate you thinking of me, but I know the news.
Yeah.
It's funny.
So in this movie, so she gets a flat tire, and I was kind of a little bit disappointed that she didn't try to change it herself, at least a little bit. You know, it's like, come on, MJH, like, change your full flat tire. Like,
She didn't even attempt. She did not pull out the spare. She pulled out her cell phone.
She was like, "I'm going AAA." What the spare was?
That was hilarious.
Like, she's like, "What's a spare?" And I just loved the fact that not only is he Mr. Christmas tow truck driver, but he has a whole hot cocoa station in his truck. Yeah, like with toppings and everything.
That is my dream man right there.
I know, for sure. That was great. And so of the many jobs that he has, he's a performer, he's a glass blower, which is now, that's what, the second time that we've had glass blowing in Lifetime this season.
And as my co-host Erica likes to remind me, glass blowing is not sexy, and you have to, if you've ever done it, you have to blow into this tube as hard as you can. Your cheeks are puffed out, you're turning purple, like, you're spitting everywhere. So the fact that they managed to make it seem like a cute little moment, bravo.
I just love it whenever there's like the excuse to kind of kind of get cozy together and like lean over together. And
oh, I
like,
know you do. Yeah. A baking theme, you know.
Yes, I do. I love that. And what did you think of Nikki Whalen as her sister in this?
I love her, but her pregnant belly was really cracking me up. Like, that thing had a mind of its own. It was moving on its own. Like, it just looked like a giant basketball shoved up her shirt.
Yeah.
But I love her so much, and I love her. I always am so excited to see her. I thought she was great.
Yeah, it was. I mean, she need like multiples or something like that. She was so huge, and it just didn't look very realistic, but she was really cute. I liked her a lot in this. It was probably actually, I think, my favorite I've seen of hers.
Yeah, she was adorable.
And they had I thought of strange tree shopping in this one where she was on the phone the whole time, and I don't know if that was a COVID thing or something like that, but it was kind of strange, I thought.
I mean, they also like fully went to the woods, but like it did not look like Christmas tree woods. Like they were like in the sequoias looking for a Christmas tree, and I was just laughing. But you know what? I didn't care.
Well, I just like when they come in, does Santa know his best tree is missing? That was funny.
It was still cute, you know? And I think that's a real testament to this. Like, even with the challenges that they obviously had filming, it was still very cute.
Yeah. What do you think of the little testimonials they did?
You know what? You're always going to get me with those. The When Harry Met Sally, couples, confessionals, like, forget it. I love those. I love that we got a Hillary Burton cameo because everyone was so sad that we weren't going to get her in a movie, which I'm still bummed about. But in even like, and she is such a great actress because even in those, what, like 1 minute that she was on, she made me feel and she made me like happy. It was very cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you like them?
Yeah. No, I did. I did. In fact, the first, I was almost like, are these real like couples?
Right.
And then obviously once they got to the Hillary Burton, I was like, okay, they're not. But
and the Robin Givens one, I was like, they couldn't have gotten someone else for Robin.
Yeah.
Hank from HR or whatever his name is.
Yeah. And it was really cute. Because Amy Winter had told me that they had to do her being late to the party as a COVID workaround. Mm-hmm. And I thought that pulled it off. I enjoyed it. I thought it was sweet. And I think they could have maybe made it looked a little more lived in the space. Like there had been a party there.
Yeah.
Because it didn't really feel that way. But nevertheless, I still enjoyed kind of a little bit of a sort of a Cinderella moment in the story.
And I also do love that they got to have like that moment alone. Like that's kind of the fun part to me is like the after party where you're just in each other's company. It was the same in Hallmark on the One Royal Holiday when they are like the dancing scene I liked best was them alone in the empty space before the ball. You know, I like those moments.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Yeah. And she looked so pretty. I loved the dress. Her red dress was so beautiful.
Really and pretty.
Yeah. And it was so cute. And he says, I don't think I can wait that long. And he says, to meet my nephew? No, to see you.
I know. Oh. Swoon.
So cute. So cute. And so then she's starting to get nervous and about how are they going to make this work? And is it too, you can't rush love. Are they rushing it or whatever? And they have the final scene with, where they talk it out. He's in the Santa outfit and I loved it. They're there. And then the four, her parents and brother-in-law and sister are staring at them, and you see the couple, and you see them in the door looking at them. It was so cute.
Fully eavesdropping. Like, yeah. It was so great. And I loved her parents in this movie. Like, I just want to be like her parents when I'm that age. Like, they just seemed so cool. Like, they own a bookstore. Yeah. And I don't, it was just so cute.
And Ed Begley Jr. is always fun to see. That's her dad.
Yeah, he's great.
So that was good. They had a Jimmy Fallon drop in this
one.
That he was just in the bookstore for a book signing.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you give Dear Christmas 1 to 5 stars for this film?
I'd give it 4 stars. I really liked it.
Yeah. I did too. I don't think that I said in my like mini review, I said this is not for the Christmas movie novice.
Yeah,
this
no
is
way.
More for those of us that kind of know what they're riffing on and kind of get it, I think.
Right.
So this is the experienced Christmas movie watcher movie.
Right. I mean, if you enjoy these movies, you will appreciate so many of the references in this.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about the Merry Little Christmas Wedding.
Yes.
So this is Lifetime's first sequel they've ever done. Can you believe that?
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And this stars Kelly Rowland, and it has Nathan Witte and Jamie Calica, who we've interviewed on the podcast, and they're delightful. And Sharon Lewis is our director. And it's Lifetime's first ever Christmas sequel to last year's hit movie, Merry Little Christmas. It follows Jackie Little as she and Tyler try to plan their perfect destination Christmas wedding. Naturally, Jackie's plans go awry when her boisterous family intervenes in her planning and her snoofy wedding planner quits in protest. While nothing goes as initially planned, Jackie and Tyler get a Christmas wedding more memorable than they could have ever dreamed. So you loved the original. Mm-hmm. What did you think of this overall?
Oh, I loved this one too. I might have liked this one a little better. I really loved seeing the family together. It did make me a little sad because not many of our holidays are going to look like that this year. But it overall just made me so happy to see them together and celebrating. I laughed out loud multiple times. Like, there were so many things. When Kiki, her sister is the worst. We all know it. She's terrible. I tweeted, someone lock Kiki in a room until this wedding is over. She is ruining everything. When she burned that dress, I was laughing so hard. I was like, this girl can do nothing right. And we all have one in our families. We all have the one who can never get it together. But I liked this, and I loved the kids in this. I thought they were so cute, and I loved that the one little boy formed a friendship with the concierge who took an interest in him and making sure he had a good Christmas. Oh, there's my dog. Zero agrees. I really liked it. I love that the message in the end was like, you know, weddings are fun, but that's not what matters. Like the party in the way that you imagined it doesn't matter in the end. It's really about celebrating your love with the person you're marrying and having your family there to be there with you. I loved that. And I loved that they pulled it off in the end and they did it their way. And it was smaller and less, you know, less stressful and less crazy than they thought it would be. I really liked it. And I'm pretty sure I liked it better than the first one. I'll have to watch the first one again, but I think I liked this one better.
I liked it better than the first one as well. The first one, they were too much for me. The whole like family shenanigans style of Christmas movie isn't my favorite. I don't know if it's just not my favorite kind of comedy, but I've never been a big fan of The Family Stone. And I know that's a lot of people love it. I don't love it. Those kinds of movies just, I don't know, I just get irritated with people so much. I get so frustrated with them. and I want to make it better. And I want to, like, oh, why are you behaving this way? And I'm not a huge fan of wedding movies, but this one didn't bother me because as far as a wedding movie, because she was pretty cool. Like, yeah, she wasn't in a bridezilla.
Not at all.
Yeah. And I really liked the how they ended up doing the wedding. I don't want to spoil it because it is pretty fun. A fun surprise. I know.
That's why I didn't say anything.
Yeah. It was pretty cute. But yeah, this sister, Kiki, I mean, I would have had words with her.
Kiki's a mess.
I've been so mad with her. I mean, I have three sisters and we are quite different, the three of us, but I would have been so mad. Oh my gosh.
I know. And Kiki and just at every turn.
It's just like, oh wow. And yeah, she was a lot for me in this, and I just kept thinking to Nathan Witte, who was like her love interest. I'm like, oh, poor Nathan.
He was so cute and sweet, and let's just hope that he mellows her out. Let's hope that they do another one and he mellows her out. She just could not get it together. Like, the second she arrived on the scene, she was ruining everything. But I did like when she admitted that the reason she was getting overly involved and overly invested in Jackie's wedding was because she hadn't had one of her own. And I think that that's kind of a real thing. Like, she was projecting a lot of her feelings onto Jackie because she never had that experience but wanted it. So, like, instead of it being about Jackie's wedding, she made it about her, like it was her wedding, which, I mean, I thought that was a really kind of honest revelation, but she still needed to be locked in a room. Like, I would have been like, someone tell her.
never be alone.
Exactly. Someone tell her that she doesn't need to do anything. She just needs to sit quietly. That's what she needs to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was really glad too, because there's a point where her fiance, Kelly Rowland's fiance, overhears her saying that maybe it's not meant to be or whatever. And I was like, oh, don't do that, please. That to me would be very grown worthy. Mm-hmm. But it resolved it very quick. And I only get annoyed when a overheard conversation like that is like made into this big something that could be resolved from like a 5-minute conversation.
Right.
This is somebody that you're about to marry, and the way that sometimes they act like, oh, well, that's a deal breaker, I'm not going to marry you anymore. I'm like, come on, nobody would do that. Like, you're invested in this person. Like,
I know.
Like, you would never do that over an overheard conversation. Or you would just be like, oh, what were you trying to say? Oh, that's what you're trying to say. Okay, there we go. And that's basically what they did with this, which I was glad.
I know. I like that they kind of just took a breath and then came back together and worked it out, which rang true to me. Yeah. Like, you have a disagreement or you have an issue. Everyone goes to their corners for a minute. You know, take a breath. Take some space and then come back together and, you know, work it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I think so. I like that they did that. And you also have the relationship between her married sister and her husband, that they're not able to get enough time together. And I thought that was pretty good. I love them.
They're so cute together.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. And so overall, I enjoyed this honestly more than I expected. And so I would give this I'm going to give it a 3.75 stars. What about you?
I'm going to give it 4.5 stars. I really loved it.
Yeah.
I liked it.
All right. Very good. Okay. Yeah. And it was funny. While I was watching, I was like texting Dory. I'm like, oh, this sister. And you're like, every family has one.
Every family has one. I think that's why I appreciate it. Like, yes, she's annoying. And yes, she is selfish and crazy. And we all have that. You got that one sister, one cousin. Whatever it is, you know exactly who it is.
I hope I'm not the one.
And if you're listening to this and you can't a person, then you need to sit down and evaluate whether you are that person.
That's right.
I hope that's right for you.
So next on Lifetime, we had People's Presents Once Upon a Main Street, where I don't understand why they got that moniker, that People's Presents. Like, I guess People Magazine just loved this movie, evidently. I don't know. It was so weird.
I did not understand at all. I kept waiting. Like, I thought it was going to be like Hallmark Hall of Fame. Like, there would be some emotional, you know, big emotional impact. I was expecting, or like, I don't know. I thought maybe that they just got a lot of money for the movie, but
you'd expect it to have something to do with celebrities because that's People Magazine, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. And we got literally none of that with this movie.
This movie was so strange.
It was so weird. I was like, what am I watching?
Like, not really in a good way. I hate to say it. It is, but the whole time I'm just like, that was a strange choice. That was a weird thing to say. What was that? Why were they? And it has Vanessa Lachey and Ryan McPartlin, who I love both of them. I think they're
too.
Great.
Yeah, I love both of them.
And it's about these two people who want to run businesses in this location on this main street. And so they have to have this celebration for the town's main street, and whoever does the best job, they will get the space to rent out. And I don't know if you agree, but I felt like particularly Rowena was going to kill everybody at any second.
I loved Rowena.
Like, she was so strange. Like, the things that she kept saying, I was like, what? And she was like, no, I am not going to allow that. I'm not going to allow the town to have, this is my turn. Stay out of my way. Leave me alone.
And the way she said everything in like this low monotone, it was so menacing. Yeah. But I loved her because she kept it interesting. Like to me, she at least was like, I was like, oh, this is weird and different and slightly terrifying. Is she going to murder them all? But I mean, she was kind of my favorite character. Like by the end, I was laughing at everything she did. Like she had a transformation.
And anytime anybody would touch anything in her sister, she'd be like, put that down.
that's worth a lot of money. And it's like a plate, a tiny side dish plate. It was crazy.
It was so strange. Like I was fascinated by it, but I was just kind of like, what is they doing in this movie? And it's this town, and are they going to be able to support a full-time chocolate store and a full-time Christmas store? I mean, sure, you can have places like that at Disneyland and stuff like that, but can you have one in just random town, any town USA, a Christmas store year-round?
I know. And the lengths they went to secure this building. Like, we had two movies where the leads are competing over land, essentially.
Yeah.
And they have to like move into a stranger's home and compete to get so the weird. Listed. It is the weirdest thing ever.
Yeah.
And they're doing everything for this man to get him to sell them his building. They're like, can we make you breakfast? Can we decorate your entire house inside and out? Can I build you a snowman? I was like, what are these grown people with jobs doing?
I know it's a hard one to rank, but what would you, how many stars would you give it?
I guess I would give it 3 stars because it wasn't good by any means, but you know, I did watch the whole thing and I was invested in the story by the end. I think I gotta give it 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm gonna give it a 2.5. So it was just I just can't give it higher. But it is an interesting watch. All right. So then we have The Christmas Listing. And so this was their Monday movie. And this stars Lexi Giovignoli and Travis Burns. And it is about Julia Rogers is an uptight, hardworking realty owner who has lost her Christmas spirit. She will have to spend 5 days at a Christmas inn with her business competitor, Chad Everest, in order to win over the badly needed listing of the Erickson farmstead. While competing to win the listing, Julie and Chad discover that they have more in common than they thought. So our friend Patrick over at Lifetime Uncorked, which you should totally follow his blog. The podcast is on hiatus right now because Drew, his associate, is his producer is in the hospital. People should just check out their GoFundMe and everything. Aww. Anyway, but Patrick is awesome. We love them. And so he's doing the blogging, and he said that more than any other movie this year, this could easily be a Lifetime thriller. Yeah. In fact, they may have just reworked a Lifetime thriller.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't you see it? You know, they have those deranged, and they have the Deranged series and the Psycho series over at Lifetime, and it just like it could be Psycho Realtor.
Oh, for sure. I could absolutely see it without question.
Yeah, only a few tweaks, a change of soundtrack, a few little tweaks there, and you've got yourself a Lifetime thriller. And this, I don't know, this had some things that I liked. I didn't mind watching it.
Yeah.
But it was not a good film.
No. No. not in the slightest. But it had some moments. You know, yeah. I liked that the main girl wasn't like stick skinny. I appreciated that. Her sister was silly and funny. I thought,
but like her sister, was doing things that she's legally not allowed to do. Like, if you aren't a realtor, you are legally not allowed to show people homes. Like, you're legally
that was funny.
And she was like, oh, you're being such a go-getter or whatever. And I'm like, no, that's against the law. And as a realtor.
Well, and didn't she, while her sister was there for this week-long retreat, Christmas retreat, yeah. Didn't our sister like sell two houses?
Yeah,
like,
that's what I'm saying.
And meanwhile, the main girl, who's an actual realtor, had not been able to sell a house to save her life because of Chad Everest. And yeah. Her sister is by herself for a week and becomes a real estate mogul. What?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I did. I liked their relationship.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah. There was a lot of Christmas singing going on. As far as there was, they actually did a puzzle, which you don't see them actually like working on it and things like that in that many of these. And then they had cookie making.
They had a lot of cookie making. Every 5 minutes, someone had a cookie in their hand and they were frosting it.
And this whole conceit of these homeowners was so strange. Like, that you would make people do this, first of all, and make them do it right before Christmas is bizarre.
And that you would clothe them, like, right. Give them the clothes of old people who stayed there, like,
yeah,
guests. That was weird.
That is major horror movie going on right there.
It was terrifying. And, like, the house didn't even seem that nice. I was like, why are they fighting over this listing? This house seems... It seemed like there were two rooms in the entire downstairs. And it was supposed to be this, like, farmstead, you know, this make it or break it career moment to sell this place. And I was like, it's not even cute.
No. Yeah, it's not like it's a mansion or something like that. I mean, it's probably going to be a tough one to sell.
I know.
To be frank, those kind of old farmhouses. And so the whole thing was so strange. And I don't think that they had good chemistry. It was fine, I guess. I mean, they allowed him to keep his Australian accent, which was good, I guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it wasn't as strange as Once Upon a Main Street, but so I can't, I'm going to give this one 2.3 stars.
Yeah, I have to give this one, I'm going to go 2.75. I did have some moments where I laughed out loud. Yeah. Rachel's recording cut out at the end, and I had to explain to her.
I was like, it counts. I watched it.
You watched it. You watched enough. I'm like texting her everything that happened at the end. And long story short, she didn't miss a thing. It ended exactly how you thought it was going to end.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, and this was another one that has the groan-worthy overheard conversation, mm-hmm. kind of thing, where you're just, mm-hmm. like that Mary Little did right, and resolved quickly, whereas this, it's like, ugh.
It was so stupid, on. And she was yeah, such was a brat so about it.
Yeah. It was like, come on, have like, if this is something you were actually interested in, then you'd have a grown-up conversation about what was happening.
Right.
And, you know, you wouldn't just behave that way. So it was pretty bad.
And you and I both felt like it would have been better, because there's an opening scene that is funny where they are fighting over a listing for a house.
Yeah.
And we both thought it would have been a better movie if they kept that setting where they were just two competing realtors. Like, once they got on the farm, I was like, this is stupid. I can't get into this at all.
Yeah, and this is one of those ones where it felt like, why are all these Hallmark and Lifetime movies trying to be Get Out? know.
It was like Get Out.
Pretty much.
Why are they trying to do this? There's nothing Mary about Get Out. Oh, jeez.
Yeah. I guess they just really liked the movie. So
It was especially like Get Out because one of their competing realtors was a black guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, why? Why?
He got out of there quickly.
I know. I was like, he lasted a good 24 hours. And I was like, why did you even have that man come up in that house? Because you know he wouldn't. It was so funny. Yeah.
It's crazy.
He was like, well, my kid's in the hospital. Gotta go.
That's right. So then we had on Ion Channel, there was a royal Christmas engagement in this stars Paige Bach and James Nitti. And it is Lauren, a hardworking advertising executive, begins to fall for Paul, a consultant she has been paired with to land a big account for the upcoming holiday season. Unbeknownst to Lauren and everyone else, Paul is actually Prince Edward Charles, European royalty in disguise as a commoner. So this was not a good movie. It was serviceable, I guess. Kind of irritating. I didn't really like her. She was sort of annoying, and she is so ridiculous when she finds out that he is the king. She's like, "How could you lie to me?" And then she won't talk to him. She won't dance with him, and she's all offended. And I was just like, "Ugh, come on! If you were really in love with this person, any normal human being would understand why he couldn't be the king in this like menial job or whatever. Like, obviously this is a ridiculous situation, and the fact that she would be so pouty was irritating. But his BFF and him, they have this like brandy or whiskey or something like that company that is their land, or it's called like the royal brand of whiskey, I think it was, or something. And they have all of these conversations about this alcohol. These scenes, it was like I just kept thinking, it kept feeling like Rocket Man or something like that.
What? I don't know. Now I feel like I have to watch this. This sounds bananas.
There were these weird scenes where they were talking about the whiskey. I think it was either whiskey or brandy. I can't remember. But anyway, and the royal brand and how they were going to advertise the royal brand and how he was just over it. And and then of course the BFF is all telling him like, you can't be with this girl, and trying to give him the advice and all this stuff. And it's just like, it would just be better if it was just about the two of them.
I'm still trying to wrap my brain around the fact that they have a royal whiskey that they needed.
Yeah.
They needed advertising.
And there's just all these sort of snobby scenes of them like drinking this alcohol. And and oh, I do not drink alcohol, so that's why I'm ill-equipped to wax thoughtfully about this whole thing. Was perfectly serviceable if you like royal movies, but she was kind of annoying to me, and I just would have rather have been about the other characters and not about her.
Right.
So I give it a 2.3 out of 5. Okay, so then we have The Happiest Season, and this is Kristen Stewart, Mackenzie Davis, Mary Steenburgen, Victor Garber, Dan Levy. This is on Hulu, and it's a holiday romantic comedy that captures the range of emotions tied to wanting your family's acceptance, being true to yourself, and trying not to ruin Christmas. So and Aubrey Plaza's in this. What did you think about this movie?
I liked this movie. but I hated Harper a lot. And I had a lot of issues with her. The family had no redeeming qualities until the bitter end. Mm-hmm. But I still enjoyed this because I love Kristen Stewart, and I thought she was so good in this. I just wanted to like give her a hug through the screen. And I think it was a really, I had to think about this one a lot last night because, you know, I had a lot of issues with it while I was watching, and I was like, but why do I still like this? And I realized that there were a lot of things in it that hit close to home and are kind of true to our, to all our lives. Like, I hated Harper. I hated watching Harper at home with her sisters and like the competitiveness, and they were all so mean to each other. But then I was thinking about how like, that's such an honest representation of how, like, when you go home sometimes and you're an adult, you can revert right back into, like, your childhood and teenage roles, right? Like, that's real. That is real life.
And that's so true.
You know, like, and as I was watching it, I was like, okay, I hate watching this because it is so true. Like, this is what happens when you go home and you just turn into a jerk, If you were that jerk that you were in high school, like, it comes back to you. And I thought that that was very honest. So I liked how real this movie felt in a lot of ways.
Yeah, what you're saying, it reminds me of, so my mom had three babies when I was, she had one when I was 10, one when I was 16, one when I was 18. And so I always felt a lot of weight about that I had to like kind of be a, sort of a co-parent role in that, which I probably didn't even need to do, but I felt it. And and I just remember one year, so going home for Christmas wasn't really going home for me because I had never lived where my parents were living, because I grew up in Maryland, then they now were living in California, so I didn't know anybody there. And so like I would go home for Christmas and it was all of a sudden I was just kind of like mini mom.
Yeah.
And which was stressful. And one time my little brother, this is the one who was born when I was 16. He says, Rachel, I like you better in Utah than California. Oh. And I'm like, no. It's true.
Oh no.
I'm like, that's true. I knew it was true. And so,
oh man, those are the comments that hurt the most when you know, when you're like, oh, accurate. I like me better in California too.
So I think I was trying to be nicer after that. So it is true what you're saying about going home. It kind of brings out the worst in you sometimes.
It can. Like, you really revert back. And, like, you just saw her, Harper, at the bar with her high school friends acting like the jerk she was in high school. They were at a bar called Fratty's. Like, that felt so going home for Thanksgiving or Christmas and just... It's like you lose your mind a little bit. You forget that you are, and it doesn't matter how evolved you are, how emotionally mature you are, how much work you've done on yourself. There is something about being in the presence of your parents and your family for this very familiar experience. It makes you a crazy person. And so for all of my frustrations with a lot of what I saw, it felt very like real. I was like, you know what? Yeah. This is what happens.
I think the thing with Harper, because what she does to Kristen Stewart is horrible. Yeah. It's really mean.
Yeah.
But I think it wouldn't have felt so mean if she hadn't been, if she had been younger. I think that's the main, I think if you check the script and had her be 18, 19.
Right.
Then her not coming out and her wanting her partner to keep the secret feels way more understandable versus somebody in their 30s,
right?
That it's kind of like, okay, you're old enough that you should have dealt with this, and especially if she had been, it's not like she's new in her kind of coming out and her
exactly
feelings.
Like she had been in a relationship in high school. Yeah.
So I don't know. I that part of it, I think that was the mistake and where maybe that doesn't work, but I still laughed quite a bit.
Yeah,
and
me too.
I think that Mary Steenburgen is a big key. I think that she is really funny and her responses to things are quite funny. Mm-hmm. And I also thought the younger sister was funny, that like her coping mechanism for dealing with this family is like retreating to Middle Earth.
I was texting my friend Colin and he was like, I love it when it seems like one character is acting in a completely different movie. Like, yeah. She was in a different movie. Everyone else was in Happiest Season, and she was in a different movie.
I loved her ending with Dan Levy. And
I loved that, too.
That was so funny. And I was surprised. I don't want to give it away, but I don't know. There were a few things that I was like, oh, we're still doing that in 2020, I guess. That's interesting. Like the fact that somebody else outed her and she
I hated that.
I thought that was surprising in a movie that was written by LGBTQ by LGBTQ writers, Clea DuVall and the director. I was really surprised, because that's something like in Sweet Home Alabama, that was in like 2002 or something. Mm-hmm. The Reese Witherspoon's character outs her friend to the whole town.
Yeah,
and it's like, I remember when that happened, I didn't even give it a second thought. It was like, oh, but now looking back, I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe she did that.
I know, horrifying, and, right? Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm so much more educated now than I was then. And so I kind of felt like, oh, we're over that. Like, that's not a thing. And so then the fact that it happened in this movie really surprised me.
I know.
And I thought that was interesting. But overall, I thought it was so cheerful and so lovingly made. And
I
made me laugh enough to give it. I gave it a 6.5, I think, in my review, mm-hmm. and I gave it fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, because overall I just thought it was funny,
yeah,
sweet enough,
yeah.
I can relate to it. I have a sister that's gay, so you know, in a pretty conservative family, so you know that rang true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I enjoyed it, and I thought that. I thought that one thing that would have helped me kind of like it better, because I was really thinking about this one after I watched it. I was like, yeah. Did I like that? Am I sure I liked that? And I think what would have helped if we saw a little bit of their relationship, a little bit more of their relationship, because we get that great scene at the beginning where they're having fun at the Christmas light tour with Queen Michelle Buteau, who I love. Mm-hmm. And I wish we had seen more of like why we should be rooting for Harper. Like, I wanted to see more of like, why am I invested in this woman and her relationship? Because from everything I've seen so far, she's had one redeeming moment. And then literally the next morning, she's trying to get out of inviting her girlfriend home for Christmas. Like, that was wild to me. Yeah. So I would have liked to see more of that. And with the outing scene, I was cringing the whole time. That was so hard to watch. But I also think it was interesting because it wasn't even about Harper, right? Like, that was about her sister and how all of the kids were at their absolute worst in that moment. Like we were saying before, it's like you are dragged down to your worst instincts Like, she didn't care that her sister was gay. She was just doing it because she wanted to hurt her, and she was mad. And she was mad that her entire family looked at her as like a baby factory instead of a human being. All they cared about were her kids and getting a picture with the cute kids. And so I thought that outing scene was kind of multi-layered, because it's like, oh, wait a minute. This entire family is at their worst right now. Like, they are all being sucked into this nastiness.
And they destroy the youngest, destroy her artwork.
They destroy her art without a second thought, you know, like they all just treat each other horribly and have to rebuild from there. But I still, I liked it. I still liked it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I would give this on our scale, I'd give it like a 3.5, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd give it, I think I'd give it the same.
Yeah. Okay, last one. We have The Christmas Chronicles 2, and this stars Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn and Julian Dennison, and directed by Chris Columbus, and it's Kate Pierce, now a cynical teen, is unexpectedly reunited with Santa Claus when a mysterious troublemaker threatens to cancel Christmas forever. And did you watch the first Christmas Chronicles?
Oh yeah, did I ever. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I was a big fan of the first one. I really enjoyed it. So I had this one I was kind of disappointed by. It's not awful. It's perfectly serviceable, I guess, if you're looking for a Christmas movie with Santa Claus. And Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell are delightful, and I enjoyed them. But I can tell you one thing I don't enjoy is the, like in the summary, it says Kate Pierce, now a cynical teen. That is not for me. I am not a cynical teen. She was so annoying, I thought, in this movie. I did not like her at all. And for her to be the lead character, I was just like, ugh. So your mom has found happiness. Leave her alone. Go away. And then I also, and I feel bad in saying this, but I thought Julian Dennison was so bad in this movie. I thought his acting was terrible as this kind of villain character. He was really bad in Deadpool 2, in my opinion. It was the worst part about that movie. And I mean, I'm sure he's a lovely human, but I just, I thought he was really bad and wooden and flat and just not a good performance. So I actually went rotten on this. It's not awful.
You did? Mm-hmm.
I did. Yeah, I didn't. I thought it was disappointing. I liked Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn, but I really didn't like the little girl, the teenager girl. Thought she was annoying, and I thought that he was really bad. So, yeah. What did you think of it?
I definitely liked this more than you did. I mean, I definitely preferred our villain as an elf. I think that is his best form. Yeah. But I liked it, and I don't mind a moody teenager. I'm okay. I was okay with Kate being a brat. I like her. Like, I root for her, and I was okay with her being a brat, because she says in the movie, like, it's only been a couple of years since my dad died. And when she said that, I was like, that would be hard. Like, 2 years for a child who lost their parent tragically is not that long of a time. Like, that's a lot to take in.
Yeah.
And it's also like, this guy was coming with a fully formed family. Like, he had a kid of his own. She wasn't crazy about him at the beginning of this. So I understood her. It's also, it must be really destabilizing to not have like the holiday you normally had. Like, I think she's searching for normal, and nothing has felt normal. Like, her last Christmas was pure insanity. She was literally with Santa And now this Christmas, she's on a beach. She hates it. Nothing about it is familiar. So I understood why she was so moody and obnoxious. I just love Kurt Russell as Santa. I think he's my favorite Santa. He's just so cool. I loved the scene in the airport with Darlene Love, like, here for it. I loved that Kate kind of gets that moment of closure because they, spoiler alert, they go back into the past a little bit and she gets to meet her dad. And I loved that. Like, that was a tearjerker moment for me. What I love about this movie too are the elves. Like, I never get sick of them. I just think they're so freaking funny, even when they were being evil and crazy. Like, I was just laughing nonstop. Mm-hmm. So I definitely enjoyed this more than you did. I did not think it was better than the first one, that's for sure. I mean, the first one was just amazing and perfect. But I still really liked it. And Tyrese was in it, which I was not expecting, and I loved. I am a huge Fast and the Furious fan, so when I saw him, I screamed and I texted my co-host and friend Erica and said, "You did not tell me that Tyrese was in this when you talked about it." And she said she didn't want to ruin the surprise for me, which I appreciated. Yeah.
I mean, who can blame Kimberly Williams Paisley for going with
I know. Listen, if Tyrese is inviting you and your family for a beach vacation over the holidays, you can. And she looked happy as can be when she was on that dance floor. Like, I thought it was cute. I liked it.
I'm willing to go to the Caribbean for Christmas if anybody. Anybody wants. I have no philosophical objections to a holiday in warm climates, despite being a Hallmark podcaster. And there was some fun banter too between them with Goldie Hawn being like, if it's all designed by Mrs. Claus, why isn't it called Mrs. Claus's Village? That was funny. There were some fun lines like that. But I don't know. It was one of those ones where I was right on the line, but I really did not like her, and I really did not like him, the villain. I thought he was terrible.
Yeah, you know, he wasn't great. Like, I didn't feel a great deal of sympathy for him, which is an issue because you want to, in this case and in this movie, in this type of movie, you want him to redeem himself. And when it happens,
he's just so wooden as an actor. I think he's so flat. Everything just, and I feel bad for saying that, but it's true to me.
And it should have been funnier. Like, when he was sitting on the beach, when Kate like wishes that she was away from her mom's boyfriend in this beach vacation, like, it should have been funny, him sitting on the beach like, "Oh, this makes my work so much easier." And I was, you know, it was almost too serious. Like, I want to see some, you know, I like a zany villain. I like a funny villain.
Right. Now, so, like, on Rotten Tomatoes, I'm comparing them to feature films as opposed to comparing to TV movies, which are not the same. It's different. So I'm going to give this 3 stars. Even though I gave it, I think, 4 out of 10 on Rotten Tomatoes. Again, that's comparing to 2020 feature films. And so there we go. That's what I'd give it. What would you give it?
I'm giving it 4.25. I really liked it. I thought it was cute.
These Christmas movies. So Dory is a trooper. I can't believe she watched all of these 6 movies for this.
That's right.
Amazing.
Only You're for incredible. You.
I mean, I guess Mary Little was your favorite.
Yeah, Mary Little was my favorite, like, by far. Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. I think Dear Christmas is probably my favorite, but I think that Mary Little's probably the best of the group.
Yeah.
Even though I did like the Happiest Season. Yeah. So there we go. Let us know your thoughts if you're listening. And let us know or on Twitter. And you can follow the podcast on Homeworkies Pod and Homeworkies Podcast all over social media. And if you are listening on iTunes, please leave your ratings and reviews for us and for all the feels. We really appreciate it. And if you are listening on YouTube, please give this video a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. We appreciate that so much. And Dory, where can people find you?
You can find us at All The Feels Pod on Twitter, on Facebook, and please listen to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. And what's your matchup this week?
This week, we have a really strong weekend this week that we're really excited about. So on our bracket for this weekend, we have Christmas and Evergreen, Bells Are Ringing, taking on Christmas Ever After on Lifetime. I know. It's going to be a really great matchup. We're super excited for Christmas and Evergreen. And obviously, like, we've been counting down the days for Christmas Ever After. And you texted me and told me that I was going to love it. And I can't wait. Yeah. I'm so excited.
Yeah. Well, make sure everybody listen to their episodes with their bracket. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm going to be doing every Monday for my family movie night series in December. I'm going to do a Christmas-related film. So you'll definitely want to check that out. And thanks so much, Dory. This was really fun. And we'll talk again later. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.